pray with me one more time as we come before the Lord and ask for His blessing upon our time today. Oh God, we come to Your Word, the very Word that You have given to us, so that we might know You, O God, and so that we might know ourselves, so that we might know our need for eternal life, so that we might know our need for Christ and our need for His righteousness and His atonement, that we might come to Your Word with humble hearts, that we would put away all pride and put away all selfishness, that we would be quick to hear, slow to speak. Oh God, may we not just be hearers of the Word, but may we be doers of the Word as well. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have you ever read something somewhere and you thought to yourself, I don't know if I can trust that? Or maybe you've read a blog, or maybe a newspaper column, or maybe an opinion article from a periodical, and you think to yourself, can I really believe that? Can I really read that with all of my heart, knowing that that is true, and that is fully true, and something that I can rely upon with all of my heart? In our day, you know as well as I can that you can't do that. You know as well as I know that you can click on, you can open up, you can turn to any newspaper article, any column in our day, and you have to read it perhaps with a grain of salt because you're just not sure how true that really is. Well, beloved congregation, I want to tell you today that everything in the Bible is true. I want to tell you today that everything in the Bible is reliable. Everything in the Bible is without error. I want to tell you today that everything in the Bible is unchanging, and it comes with full authority because it's not just a book from a man. This is the Word that comes from Almighty God. Maybe you've heard of J.C. Ryle, a man who lived a couple of centuries ago in England. I love this quote from the English preacher of old. Here's what he said. Ryle said, "The Bible is a book that I must speak about." He said, "The view which I maintain is that every book, every chapter, every verse, and every syllable of the Bible was originally given by the inspiration of God." He said, "I hold that not only the substance of the Bible, but its very language, not only the ideas of the Bible, but its very words, not only certain parts of the Bible, but every chapter of every book, that all of it and each part of it are with divine authority." He said, "I hold that the Scriptures not only contain the Word of God, but it is in fact the very Word of God." Do you believe that? Do you agree with what Ryle said a couple of centuries ago? Because if you believe that, you are in a small minority, not just of Americans, of professing American evangelical Christians. Dear congregation here at Providence, I hold the view that we must recover and we must hold to and cling to what we could call a high bibliology, a high theology of the Bible. We need that in our day. We need to understand what the Bible is and what the Bible claims about itself. Still, by way of introduction, let me see if I can help you by giving you just a couple of words. If you want to jot these down, I want to help us understand a little bit of bibliology, a doctrine of the Bible. What does the Bible say about itself? Well, number one, the Bible is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. And that means that the Bible contains everything that human beings will need in life and in godliness. The Bible is enough. The Bible is sufficient. We're going to talk about that today in 2 Timothy. But number two, the Bible is also effective. the Bible is effective. And we read it earlier from the Westminster Confession, but when we talk about the Bible being effective, we mean that the Bible will always produce the results that God sends it out to accomplish. It will always bring about results. The Bible can't fail. God has a purpose when the Word of God goes out, and the Bible will always accomplish with divine authority what God sends it out to do. Isaiah 55 tells us about that. Third, the Bible is inerrant. It is inerrant. That means it is absolutely without error. It cannot err. It cannot lead astray. It has no mistakes in it at all. Fourth, the Bible is infallible. Infallible. When we talk about the Bible being infallible, we mean that the Bible can't fail. The purpose for which God sends His Word out will always reach the divine goal. We're going to read that a little bit later on today. But the Word of God not only comes as a word of men, but the Word of God which performs its work in believers. We're going to talk about that more today. Next, the Bible is authoritative. The Bible is authoritative. When you open up this book, which is the Bible, the Word of God, it carries absolute authority from God. Divine authority, full authority, supernatural authority. It has more authority than any human being or any other committee or any group or any other human book or any thought or opinion or ideology or worldview. The Bible is the very authoritative Word of God. So when you read your Bible, you are reading the authority of God as He talks and communicates through the written Word. Next, I want you to know the Bible is complete. The Word of God is complete. It is a closed book. God is not waiting to add additional revelation. He's not going to add another book after Revelation. The Bible is a closed. It is a complete book. That means that there is nothing being added. There is nothing that could be taken away from the Word of God. It is supremely complete and perfectly sufficient in everything that it says. One more. The Word of God is life-changing. The Word of God is life-changing. If you're a believer here today, you could amen that. The Bible is life-changing. It's the only book which has the authority from God that it can radically, it can effectively, and it can deeply transform a human's life. It's not just another book that you can read. The Bible is the book that reads you. It tells you who you are. It tells you why you are the way you are. It tells you why the world is the way that it is. The Bible is a life-changing book. I love reflecting on the life and ministry of William Tyndale. I'm sure you're familiar with this champion of the faith in centuries past. William Tyndale was an English reformer in the 16th century. And after a non-believer, really kind of hopelessly, who was entrenched in false theology, he came to Tyndale one day and he taunted Tyndale and he said this. He said, "We are fine and we are better off without the Word of God." And the reason why he said that is because others in the King of England and the leadership of England, they refused for the Word of God to be translated into the common language of the people. And they said, "We don't need the Bible. We've got the Pope, we've got the authorities, we've got tradition. We don't need God's Word." I love William Tyndale was a man of courage. He was infuriated by that statement. And he replied and he said, "If God were to spare my life many more years, I will cause a plowboy in the field to know more of the Bible than you do." And so that really set Tyndale for a life of ministry where he would read the Bible. He would translate the Bible and he would put it in plain English so the common people of the day could read, they could understand, they could live by the Bible, they could persevere in truth, and they could hope in God's revelation. Beloved, that's what I want to do today. I want to make God's word clear to every man, to every woman here in this room, to every boy and every girl in this room. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, whether you're a member of this church or whether you're visiting today. I want to make God's word clear today by the power of the Holy Spirit so that God may use his word to encourage those of you who are saved, trusting in Christ, and that God might use his word to convert those of you who are here in this room who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done so yet, take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And where we are is we turn to 2 Timothy 3. This is the very final letter that the Apostle Paul writes before he dies. He will be martyred for his faith in a very short period of time. He's already written a number of letters. And this is the second letter that Paul has written to a young protege in the faith by the name of Timothy. Timothy's a young man. He's a young pastor. He's a leader of the church. And Paul, as an aging man, he's going to come alongside of Timothy and he's going to say, Timothy, here's what you need to do. These are like final words. This is like a final charge, almost like from a father to a son before the father would die and pass away and pass the baton to his son to carry on the ministry of the Lord. We learn right here in chapter 3 that there are many false teachers that will arise in the last days. And the way to overcome this is to grow in the knowledge of the truth. And yet Paul says to Timothy, you must follow my example. Do not follow the example of culture. Do not follow the example of many religious teachers that claim that they've got it all together. Follow the example of Christ and follow the example of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, Timothy, if you want to live a life of godliness, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. You're going to have much hardship. And then Paul's going to say, but you need to continue in the faith. You need to persevere in these things. The things that you've learned from childhood, from your mother and your grandmother, continue walking in the truth. Never underestimate, moms and grandmas, how important your role is in teaching biblical truth to your children and your grandchildren. Because look right here at chapter 3, right here in verse 14. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then our text for today, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God, or it's breathed out by God, or God breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. This book needs to be your close companion. In fact, if I could even just put it like this, you and I have a phone, an iPhone, something like that. And you not only take that thing with you almost anywhere you go, you even know your phone, you know it very well. You know how to get a system update. You know how to back up your files. You know how to use it to help you where you are. If you're lost, you know where to go on your phone to regain your proper perspective. Do we know the Bible like that? Do we take the Word of God as our closest companion so that we know it well and we use it well and we trust in it with all of our hearts so that God can guide us and guard us and protect us through life? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, I believe, is kind of like laying the foundation for Christian theology and for living in godliness. And what I want to do today is I want to give you comfort. I want to give you truth today so that you might know that the written word of God is breathed out by God. This is the book that is not just a human book that God sort of sprinkled a little bit of divine truth into. This is the very spoken word of God contained for us in written form. I want you to know the Bible is sufficient for you. You don't need the Bible and human ideologies to help you cope through life. You don't need the Bible and human secular worldviews to help you cope through life. The Bible is sufficient. We're going to talk about that today as we go through. So I want to talk about your Bible. You have a Bible there. It might be in written form. Maybe it's on your phone. But I want to talk about your Bible today under three headings that I trust will come right from the text. Number one, your Bible is powerful. Number two, your Bible is profitable. And number three, your Bible is purposeful. Your Bible is powerful, it is profitable, and it is purposeful. If you and I lived 500 years ago and we lived in Europe, no doubt we would have come across the teaching and the writing and the word about a guy named John Calvin. John Calvin was teaching and preaching on the word of God, and he said this on one occasion. He said, "We owe to the scripture the same reverence as we owe to God, because in the Bible, it has its only source in God." And Calvin said, "It has nothing of human origin that is mixed with it at all." Calvin held such a high view that the Bible, the written word of God, is in fact so divine. It is so supernatural that the way that we view our Bible ought to be the same reverence and the same honor that we have for God himself. Beloved, do you revere your scriptures? Do you submit under the authority of the word in whatever it says, as it is the divine word of God, from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. We want to talk about that today. So, three truths about your Bible. Let's just walk through these as we go through our text today, and I trust that this will be used by the Spirit of God to build and edify you as the people of God. Number one, your Bible is powerful. Your Bible is powerful. Look with me at our text in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 16. Let me just read the first phrase. All Scripture is inspired by God. Or if you have another translation, you have our all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is God-breathed. And what this phrase points us to is it shows us where the Bible came from. It shows us where the Bible comes from. Who gave the Bible? What's the origin of the Bible? What's the beginning? What's the source of the Bible? I want you to know today, beloved, that the Bible is a trustworthy book. It is a complete book. It is a supernatural book. It is a book that has been given by God. It is without error. It is faithful. It is totally perfect. And it's powerful. And I want to show you this about the power of this book. Let's just look at it. Number one, because it is powerful in all of its contents. Verse 16 begins by saying all Scripture. Look at that little word all. If you and I were reading our Greek Bibles that Paul wrote in, it's actually a singular. Every single one. It's not so much an emphasis on the plurality, on the unified whole. The emphasis that Paul brings out is that every single one of God's words is breathed out. It is truthful. It is powerful. It is trustworthy in every single thing that it says, every single truth that it declares, from the creation days in Genesis 1 all the way to the work of Christ on Calvary as he died as a substitutionary atonement for his people, all the way to the future things that the Word of God brings out, it is true in every single thing that it declares. Not only is it powerful in all of its contents, but as we continue in verse 16, it is powerful in the Scripture alone. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out. It doesn't say every human writer. It doesn't say every book that has been written by men. It doesn't say every idea. It doesn't say every worldview. The point is that all of the written down scriptures that is contained from Genesis to Revelation in these 66 books, these are breathed out by God. In fact, this is exactly what Paul told Timothy to remember right here in verse 15. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings. You've known the writings that your mother and your grandmother have passed on to you. You know these scriptures, these sacred writings, and all of them are true. All of them have been passed down true from the Word of God. That's why in chapter 4, in verse 2, just a little bit later in the next breath, Paul's going to say to Timothy, you must preach the Word. Don't preach men's ideas. Don't preach cultural preferences. Don't preach church growth strategies. Preach the Word. Preach the written, the living Word of God. I praise God for faithful churches like this one, where the people come together with a hunger to hear the Word of God, the Bible, preached. Because it is the Scripture that is breathed out by God. And not only that, in verse 16, we also know that the source of every single Scripture is God. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is inspired, or God-breathed. The King James has inspired by God. The ESV has breathed out by God. The NIV has, it is God breathed. You know, sometimes people might say, I was inspired to write a song. I was inspired to write a poem for somebody that I love. That's not the idea of what we're talking about here. Or maybe somebody might say, well, when we talk about inspiration and God breathing out His Word, maybe it's God taking what the human authors already wrote, and God sort of breathes inspiration into what the human authors wrote. And that's not what we're talking about. When we talk about something being breathed out by God in the Scriptures, it's the idea of God as the source, and God is breathing out, as it were. He's breathing out Scripture through human beings who perfectly wrote down exactly what God determined. So you've got God breathing out His Word as He uses human beings to write out exactly what God revealed. The very power of God's Word, the very power of God's Word that commanded the world to exist in Genesis chapter 1 is the very power of God's written Word. Beloved, did you hear that? The same Word of God, when God said in Genesis 1, let there be light, and there was light. The same Word of God in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 spells it out. When God said, and He spoke man and He spoke woman into existence, that same God, by His own supernatural power, is the same God who reveals Himself in the Word of God. Not just sometimes when you read it. Every single time you read your Bible. Beloved, I know that there are times maybe in your life where maybe you didn't get much sleep, maybe you don't feel good, maybe you're kind of in a dry point in your Christian life, and you open up the Bible and you read it and it doesn't really seem to mean much at that moment. Maybe you read it and it's just dry. It just sort of, you don't feel like you're connecting with God's Word. It doesn't mean the Word of God is not powerful. It doesn't mean that the Word of God has failed. It doesn't mean the Word of God has left you, or that God has abandoned you. That's not it at all. The Bible is always powerful. So whether we feel like it or not, we know that God is speaking through His powerful Word when we read it. That's why the Christian life is called a discipline. It's why the Christian life is never living by your feelings. It's living by what you know to be true. We know God's Word is true. We know God's Word is powerful. We know God's Word is reliable. And the very presence of God's Word that existed when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, when the mountain trembled, is the very presence of God that exists right here in God's Word. You know, that's why, beloved congregation, hear this. J.I. Packer is so right when he said this. what the Scripture says, God says. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. So if you want to hear from God, if you want to have the transforming power of God in your life, beloved congregation, spend time in the powerful Word of God. In fact, if you turn just really to the right with me just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 4, let me show you how powerful the Word of God is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You know this because what the author of Hebrews is doing is he's giving a long sermon in the whole book showing that Jesus is better. He's better than anything or everything else that you could ever dream of. And in chapter 4 and in verse 12, the Word of God, that's the Bible, the Word of God is living and it is active. The Bible intrinsically, inherently is living and active. And what does the Bible do? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Look, you don't even know your own heart perfectly. The heart is deceitful and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? You are deceived by your own heart from time to time. And yet God's Word is so powerful that it can pierce to the division, as it were, to the deepest part of human beings. What a powerful book that we have. And then verse 13 right here continues. There is no creature that is hidden from God's sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Dear congregation here at Providence, I want you to know, first of all, your Bible is powerful. The Word of God that you have is a powerful book that God has given. And if that's true, beloved people of God, we cannot spend too much time in Scripture. You cannot spend too much time reading, meditating on, memorizing, filling yourself with divine truth. Do you need help and guidance through life, with your work, with non-believers, helping with your children, helping with your grandchildren, with your marriage, serving in the local church? The Word of God is powerful and it's able to teach and it's able to exhort and it's able to guide you. Number one, your Bible is powerful. Let me give you another heading as we walk through our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number two, your Bible is profitable. It's not only powerful, but your Bible is profitable. And you have it right there in your text, right here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable. It is profitable. We love things that benefit us in our day. We love things that benefit us in our day. If something's going to be useless, if it's not going to be profitable, then you know as well as I do, we're not going to do it, and we're going to find something else that is profitable. The Bible right here, by its own revelation about itself, from God, He tells us that all of God's Scripture, every single one of the Scriptures that is contained together in this body of revelation, it is profitable for you. It is profitable. Boys and girls, the Bible is profitable for your life. Husbands and wives, the Bible is profitable for your marriage. Church members, the Bible is profitable to teach you how to serve and how to love one another and how to come alongside of your leadership and pray for them and submit to them. And the Bible is profitable for how to work in the workplace. The Bible is profitable for how to honor Christ with your life. The Bible is profitable. It's not some old, dead, archaic book that you find in some old bookstore somewhere that's just kind of written centuries ago that is meaningless and lifeless and powerless. Your Bible is profitable. And look at what it says in verse 16. It's going to flesh this out. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable to do a number of things. Number one, it is profitable for teaching, for doctrine. You can go to YouTube. You could listen to a lot of sermons online, on the radio. You could go to different churches. You could hear all kinds of ideas. You could hear all kinds of perspectives, all kinds of theological points. The question that we have to ask is this: Show me chapter and verse. Where is it in the Bible? Where is it in Scripture? Don't tell me what itching ears want to hear. Don't tell me what's going to bring people from the unsafe culture into our church and make them feel good. I want to know, what does the Bible say? What is the chapter and verse? When you're giving me truth, when you're giving me doctrine, when you're giving me clear teaching, show me in the Bible. That's what Paul says. All Scripture is profitable for teaching. It teaches us. It guides us. It shows us how to live life. I love Psalm 119. I was with a man this week in our church. We were talking together about some of the great and practical truths of Scripture. I want you to listen to how practical the Bible is. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, I want to be taught as to how to live a life that is pleasing to God, how to live a life that is pure before God. I want to know how to be a man of God in an impure and an immoral and a sex-crazed society. What do I do, Pastor? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. A couple of verses after that, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The Bible is profitable to teach you. And Jesus knew this because in John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer to the Father, just hours before he would go to the cross, Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So men and women, families, married couples, parents with children, do you want to be taught and do you want to teach well? Then keep going to the Word of God for sanctification. We are sanctified in the truth. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us more like the Son of God for the glory of God. Well, back to 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable not just to teach, but it's profitable to reprove. Reprove. A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching a men's Bible study on a Friday morning. We're going through the book of Revelation. I need reproof. When I err, when I do something wrong, when I sin, when I make a mistake, when I do something foolish, I need people in my life to say, Jeff, here's what you did. And you need to do this. And that happened to me a few weeks ago. And I'm grateful for men of God who love me enough to tell me the truth and to reprove me and to point out my sin and to point out where I have erred and where I need to be corrected and reproved and walk on the path to godliness. That's what it is in verse 16. The Bible is profitable to reprove you, to rebuke you. Have you ever felt uncomfortable when the Bible has been preached? Have you ever felt as though I feel like I'm the only person here in this room? And it's like God is talking right to you through the preacher, through the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, it feels like there's nobody else here in this room, but He's talking right to me. And I feel convicted. And there's a sense in me, if I'm really honest, that I don't like what He's saying. Because my sin is being exposed. And yet, what a kindness of God. What a good, benevolent Father that the Christian has, where He reproves us, He rebukes us. Here's what the word means. The Bible engages the heart. The Bible shows our heart where we've sinned, where we've faulted, where we've disobeyed God, and where we need to grow. Not only does the Bible reprove us, but the Bible corrects us. If reproof is pointing out your sin, then correction is showing you, here's what you need to do. If the Bible is profitable, not just to teach you doctrine, but to point out the sin of your heart, and then the Bible corrects us. The Bible corrects us. I love this word. It's a Greek word that means to cut straightly through something. The Bible corrects. It doesn't leave you in the muddy waters. It doesn't leave you confused. The Bible will correct you like cutting right through something and making it crystal clear. Here's the path that you are to walk on. That's what the Word of God does. The Bible sets us aright. And then not only does the Bible tell us what to do, but look at verse 16. The Bible is profitable for training in righteousness, so that you can walk in the path of righteousness, so that you can honor God, so that you who are positionally righteous in Christ, that you may walk in practical righteousness before God as the Word of God guides you. I love how the Bible is so profitable for us. I want to tell you a story about a young boy. There was a boy who loved his mother's strawberry jelly. And she made this homemade strawberry jam. He loved it so much. He was a young boy, and she was going to go away for a couple of errands. And she said to the boy, "Do not go into the cupboard and get out that strawberry jelly." So she leaves. And what do you think the boy does? He pulls up a little chair next to the counter, and he climbs up on that chair, and he goes on the counter, and he reaches up his hand, and he pulls down that strawberry jam, and he succumbs to the temptation, and he eats that strawberry jam, and he loves it, and he puts it back when he hears his mama pull up again. She comes into the door, and she said to him, she said, "Little Johnny, have you been in that strawberry jelly?" And he looked at her right in the eyes, and he said, "No, Mom, I've not been in that strawberry jelly." And she said again, "John, have you been in that strawberry jelly?" A little bit convicted at this point, his eyes drop a little bit. And he says, "No, Mom, I've not been in that strawberry jelly." She walks a little closer to him and she says, "John, have you been in that strawberry jelly?" Now feeling a little bit shameful, he drops his head even more. And he says, "No, Mom, I've not been in that strawberry jelly." And she walked really close to him. She said, "John, have you been in that strawberry jelly?" And the young boy, so overwhelmed in grief and shame, put his head all the way down. And he saw a big stain of strawberry jelly right here on his shirt. And he knew that he was caught. He knew that he was convicted. And I love how the Bible is so often like that. Because when we read the Word of God, sometimes we think, boy, that'd be a great sermon or a great verse for my obnoxious neighbor. Or, "Oh, this would be a great sermon. I hope that those church members that are unruly would hear this sermon today." Or, "Boy, I hope that my wife or my husband or my children are hearing this today. They need to hear what is being taught." But in reality, we keep reading God's Word. And finally, it's like our head is sunk low and we're seeing the heart and our own sin that is exposed by the Word of God. That's what the repeated reading of the Word of God, how it does teach us, how it does reprove us, how it does correct us, and how it does train us in righteousness. And how when we read the Word of God, as we read it repeatedly, we say, "Oh Lord, I need to deal with my own sin. God, this is not only a book for them. It's not only a sermon for those people. I need to hear this in my own heart." It cuts deep into our own hearts. That's what the Bible does. The Word of God engages the mind. The Word of God ignites the heart. And the Word of God influences the will. Beloved, you can read the Bible. I want to tell you something. One of the great purposes of the Bible is to tell us about who God is. And when we see who God is, we see how far short we've fallen. We've understood that our God is holy, our God is creator, our God is wise, our God is pure, and our God is righteous. That's why the Apostle Paul, hear this. For nearly 2.5 chapters, 3 chapters in the book of Romans, he labors to show from the Bible that we are all under sin. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good, not even one. There is none who understands, none who seek after God. Together they become useless. Their throat has become an open grave. And on Paul goes to show from the Bible that nobody's good. That nobody can reach out to God and find God and believe in God and work his way to God in his own strength. No one can do it. That's why God came to us. Yes, God revealed himself sufficiently in the Word of God. I want you to hear what Jesus said in John 14. He said to his disciples, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." We know from Hebrews chapter 1, the Word of God tells us very clearly that God spoke long ago in the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but in these last days he spoke to us in his Son. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his nature. And Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power, and he made purification of sin. When you read the Word of God, it is powerful and it is profitable because it points us to Christ. It points us to our need for Christ. It shows us our heart sin. It rebukes our heart sin. And then it shows us how much we need Christ and how much we cling to Him as the only source of our salvation. Beloved, are you clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Boys and girls, is He your only confidence and your only hope of coming before the One who has revealed Himself as the infinitely holy God? You will never, ever get to God unless you come through the merit and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Until you are washed perfectly, sufficiently, not in your own effort and your own religiosity and your own church membership, but you are washed in the blood of Christ by faith alone in the One who is the Word of God. Come to Him. If you've never come to Him before and trusted in Him for the salvation of your soul. Well, we need to go. We need to go quicker. Let me go. I have another point here. Three headings for your Bible. Number one, your Bible is powerful. Number two, your Bible is profitable. Number three, your Bible is purposeful. Your Bible is purposeful. And as we read 2 Timothy 3, let me give you verse 17 and see it in your own Bible, because there's a little phrase here that is so important for us. And at the beginning of verse 17, you have a little phrase, "so that." Why did God give the Bible? Why did God reveal himself in the written word of God? Here's why. So that, verse 17, the man of God, might be adequate. He may be adequate. He may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Beloved, this verse is like neon flashing lights with an arrow that God is saying to us, "My word is sufficient." Sufficient. The Bible is what you need for life and for godliness. That's what the Apostle Peter wrote at the end of his life. 2 Peter chapter 1. "Seeing that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Wait, did you hear that? God's divine power has granted for you and for me, not some things, everything we need, not just for godliness, but for life. Well, how do we get this? How does God give it to us? Through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. Well, where do we find the knowledge of God? Verse 4, "By these He has granted us His precious promises in the Word of God." Beloved, do you believe that? That you have everything that you need for life and for godliness in the Word of God. There are some of you here that are professionals. There are some of you here that are experts in your field and in your vocation. And you've read and you've studied and you've read books and you've been examined. And you know your profession well. Do we know the Word of God like that? Do we know the Word of God so well? Knowing and believing and trusting that it is God's Word that makes you adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work in life. Beloved, you can trust your Bible. You can trust your Bible. You take it and you let it show you why and how this truth relates to you personally, so that you might be an adequate, equipped person for the glory of God. I think of Jesus. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry, he was just baptized, and now in chapter 4, the Spirit of God impels him to go into the desert wilderness for 40 days. He fasts. It's him and prayer and God, and the Spirit of God is there, and Jesus is praying and fasting and pouring out his heart, and then Satan comes. After he had fasted for 40 days, he then became hungry, and Satan came. In a moment of weakness, in a moment of suffering, you might think that Jesus could probably not even stand up straight. He was so weak from not eating for 40 days. He must have barely even looked alive. He must have been at a physical low point in his life before he would later reach the cross, where he could barely live. And Satan comes to him. And Satan tempts him three different times. And you know as well as I do, what does Jesus do when he's tempted? On each of the three occasions, he doesn't engage in a mind intellectual argument with the devil. He doesn't try to rebuke the devil and cast him away. Jesus said, as it is written, as it is written, which tells us a number of things. Number one, he believed the power of the Bible. Number two, he had the Word of God in his heart. Beloved congregation, the Bible is purposeful for you as a man of God, as a child of God, as a servant of God, to live a holy life, thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has called you to. That doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor. If you're a full-time mom at home with children, if you're retired and that's where your season of life is, if you're out in the office all day, every day, I want you to hear, wherever God has placed you in life, that work that God has called you to do, you can do that work as an act of worship to God, and you can be thoroughly equipped to do that work for the glory of God, like Jesus. As you read the Word, as you hide it in your heart, and you keep going to the Word of God when temptations come your way. The Word of God is purposeful to make you equipped, thoroughly equipped, for every good work. May we give thanks to the Lord that Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It is in the Word of God that the believer learns about the unfathomable glory of God, supremely revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more fully that we grow to know the Word, the more deeply we will grow to know the Lord. So, beloved, let's know God's Word so that we can know our God, so that we can worship our Christ. And the more that we hear from God's Word, the more that we respond in worship to how God has revealed Himself. May the Word of God ignite your heart even today in gratitude for how He's revealed Himself, in gratitude for the Savior who became a curse on the cross, taking God's wrath for those whom the Father gave to the Son, and that you would rejoice and know this Savior deeply. In closing, I want to tell you just briefly about Hudson Taylor. You know this man. Born in England in 1832, Taylor was not able to go to school as a young boy. His education was gained at home through his parents. And so he just had a little education where he, as an 11-year-old, began to learn to read and to write. Really, he was an uneducated guy in all intents and purposes. But as he was trained at home and taught from his father and mother, Hudson Taylor loved his Bible. He read his Bible. He believed his Bible. And he taught the Bible where he went. Well, God gave him a passion for China, and you know as well as I do that he went to China and he started the China Inland Mission in the late 1800s. Many, many souls are in heaven right now because this man's faithful work in reading the Bible, in believing the Bible, and in preaching the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, Hudson Taylor said this when he was preaching. He said, "Jesus Christ is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Let us see that we keep God before our eyes at all times, that we would walk in his ways, and that we would please and glorify God in everything we do, whether small or whether great." Hudson Taylor got that because he read the Word of God and he believed the Word of God. And God used Hudson Taylor, armed with the powerful Word of God, to do great things as a missionary in China. And you know what? God can use you as a person trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, armed with the Word of God, to do great things for His glory by the power of His Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that you have given to us, O God, from your word. Write it upon our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.